just home. Sure enough, he's 5 in front with 20 to go, and he's got the best cramp you've ever seen. And it's a lonely feeling. It's like when you get a photo finish wrong there. That's not much fun either, but it's part of the job. But the early crows are avoidable.
That's right.
You certainly try and you learn from those, don't you?
Callers will always get photo finishes wrong. That's unavoidable. It's just the photos that when you watch the replay back, you say, oh, what have I done there?
Mm. But even all of us at home, when we look at the photo on Sky Racing, and you think, oh, it's inside, outside. So, you know, it's a tough call.
Knowing your angles too, isn't it? There's a lot of different angles for different tracks. So you've got to have a little bit of experience under your belt to get good at it at some places.
Well, that is one thing that... is not easy to explain to people out there, is what you see it's on Sky is not exactly the angle that we see through the binoculars that's right in front of us. The camera can be, you know, another tier up, so they've got a different angle, could be in that box down there. So probably the only most accurate track is Hawkesbury, where they run head on to you. That's about as close as what it gets to angles and the camera angle being what we see.
Now, how do you guys... My biggest query that I always have with race callers is your preparation. How do you get ready for even just, you know, big Saturday or the midweek races? Do you sit there with your form guide analysing the colours, the names, practising over and over again? How do you prepare for a race day?
I tend to obviously do my form the night before. Part of our contract's to obviously give our tips. Mm-hmm. Mine aren't worth much, but that's part of the deal. And then as far as the learning of the colours go, you remember the horses' names by by the jockey silks or a particular mark on a horse or something like that. I do all my learning of the colours when the jocks get on them in the mounting yard, and I just learn them then. That way, if there's any late colour changes, if you've done prep work the night before and there's a colour change on the day, it can confuse you.
Is there a technique for that? Because even in the mounting yard, that's still not a lot of time to quickly memorise all the colours.
No, it's not. I guess it becomes second nature after a while. And once you call a horse, it tends to be locked in the memory bank for myself. What about you, Blake?
It becomes second nature, after a while when you're working at the same tracks over and over. But if you were to go to somewhere else, somewhere over in Perth or overseas and just call one race randomly, that can be very, very hard work because you're dealing with names you never heard of before, you don't know the colours, so if you get stuck, you're in all sorts of trouble.
Like, we're generally rostered on in a certain area, like Newcastle or South Coast or the Hunter, so you tend to see the horses because they'll race on a 2-week turnaround. So those horses that you saw 2 weeks earlier, well, chances are they'll be back again. Like, Luke would probably understand our probably trickiest place that we went to, which we don't do at the moment, is Albury, because we were on the first flight out of Sydney and we didn't do any of the other meetings in the area bar Canberra, but it was still a hike to get horses down from Canberra. So you had Wagga and all the border hoppers from Wangaratta and Wodonga. So it was you went there and there'd be 16 in every race and you barely knew a horse,
Right.
So that whole plane trip, it was just, you were focusing on on the fields and the form and the colours. And then you hoped that you got away with it, and then you'll never see the horse again for another 6 months until you went back to Albury. So
I think you've got to love the job because it's very demanding on your mental state at times, and you've got to love what you do, because if you go to the races, you're learning 16 in every race all day. It's a big day, and it can certainly get you a bit down in the dumps sometimes too. So you've got to have a real passion for the game, I think.
There's not many callers around that don't like a nice cold beer after.
I bet. It's a well-deserved beer, that's for sure. Well, guys, I'd love to see what your thoughts are if you opened up the form guide and you're getting ready for a race like this.
They swing into the stretch and it's Craig Lee Royale.
The jockey was close.
Yep, these are the Craig Lee horses. All the same colours.
Nicely clear colours. But on the outside, Craig Lee Tina's making a little bit of a run. Craig Lee Matilda's there. And down the outside, Craig Lee Rory. But the right Craig Lee's being backed at Mackay. There's Craig Lee's left, right and centre. But Craig Lee Royale wins it easily from Craig Lee Matilda. Third, Craig Lee Gal.
Fourth was Craig Lee.
That's right. Having all the colours the same, that's bad enough, but with a name as well, Craigley this, Craigley that. But I thought calling 5 Godolphin runners in one race was hard enough, but at least they had different names.
Mindset would be, I've just called Craigley Flindell, or I've just called Craigley Marlowe, and then you've got to call another one. Like, your mindset is, I've said Craigley, I've said Craigley. So not only did he have to get the cap colours right, he had to get the Craigley name right
and
as well.
And Nick Waller's had to study that race like he's learning for a greyhound race.
Yeah.
Well, that was Tony McMahon calling that race, and Tony, he basically gave me my start, and he gave me my first race to call, and all of my all the country tracks in and around Rockhampton, where I was living at the time. He used to send me around to all of those, and I certainly wouldn't be where I am without Tony. So that was one of his best that day. I think Stan Johnson, the owner of all those Craigley horses, gave him the cap colours sort of a day in advance.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks for putting all these in.
I'll have a sleepless night, but at least I know what the cap colours are.
The Audi Open House Sales Event. Now you can receive complimentary registration, stamp duty and CTP across a wide range of new and demonstrator Audi models. Don't miss out. After 40 years in V8, we've learned that performance matters. That's why we're proud to partner with Craig Lowndes and Team Vortex. Vortex Premium Fuels, designed to clean for better performance. Boys will be boys. But with Macca Summer Sides Box, there's three favourites plus Big Mac special sauce. So you keep everyone happy.
International Animal Health is a market innovator and manufacturer of quality animal health products, offering a range of solutions for large animals and the intensive industries. Partnering with our clients, we have a shared goal to improve the overall growth, health and performance of your animals. Our pioneering product research, local manufacturing and distribution place us at the forefront of Australian companies to support the livestock industries both nationally and increasingly to overseas export markets.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love this. We've got a $25,000 Big Six jackpot at Royal Randwick Boxing Day. So place a bet you'll never forget today. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
And what about when you are doing the form the night before a race? Because it is so crucial that you guys give your insights into how the runner had raced previously. Is there something specific that you're looking for?
I don't mind having a look at a race pattern because you can sort of work out what you think how the race is going to be run through the first couple of hundred metres. So then you can put your horses to that order. Not every race turns out the same, but if you've got some sort of a speed map, you do tend to, you know, you can almost see how the race is going to unfold until the home corner. So I'm a big believer in speed maps.
Yeah, same here with speed maps. Also, for the purposes, because we have to get on the air and justify our tips sometimes. Yeah. If you're just putting tips up, you might sort of attack it in a different way. But if you're doing a special preview where you've got to justify why you like this, I'll be the same looking at speed maps and then working out which races I actually want to have a punt on as well.
Yeah, exactly. What about you, Luke?
Yeah, pretty similar. I like watching my replays just to see if there's a horse I don't know. I just like seeing what it's done in its last few starts. Mm. But doing the form is obviously something that you've got to put a bit of time into just to so you're properly prepared and you can do each horse justice on the day.
Like Darren would have to go through that highway because they come, there's 16 horses in every week and they come from 16 different places, which places you don't go to.
Very true.
You know, you might see them again 2 weeks later if they run the same course, but that race for you, you'd have to completely have a blank space and start from scratch.
But I have to say we're a lot luckier now than things were, say, 5 years ago. The Racing New South Wales website, it's all just bang, bang. There's no time consumption here. You just put the horse's name in, click, and you're watching replay. So it speeds
it's
things up.
Yeah,
I remember the days putting VHS tapes in there, rewinding fast forward.
Now, boys, we've spoken about just things that will interfere with your race calling, and one that we all, I think, can understand is that the weather is not always our friend when it comes to racing. And I just remember so clearly one Derby day when I was at home watching Sky and it was raining so heavily, I couldn't actually see the track. So I can imagine for you guys, when you're up there doing your call, in particular, let's have a look at this one when it's snowing.
Dreamy fella on the inside, turning with a short lead. Buffalo Bruiser is still trying to get there.
Leave me in.
As they turn for home, with the lead, it's still Dreamy Fella. Buffalo Bruiser on the outside. They're also trying to kick from the back, and it
is Dreamy
Fella. Is that a strategy you could do, especially that derby day when it was raining? I wouldn't have known if you were saying the right thing or not.
Well, I think if you did watch a few more American trot races, his calls aren't very much different than that. I think they only spit out four horses and that's it. He was just living up to what he normally does. So, because if like when we watch international racing, which is so active to us now, it's so different to how we call, you know, races like South Africa and the US. Like sometimes they'll spit one horse out, whoever wins the race. Central wins the race and that's it. The poor host in here, they've got to follow the race intently to know what's run second and third, but they stop after fourth, you know.
That's right.
Each country's got their own style, haven't they?
Yeah, I think we're probably one of the few countries that do the run on, after the line. So, but yeah, if you can't see it on TV, I think Darren's point's right, just make it up.
Have you ever had to do that where you just made it up? Or guess, let's just say we just guess.
There was one race in Hong Kong. It was actually a Group 1 race. It was run in just cyclonic conditions. But because you had an open window there, it was quite an advantage because at least the glass didn't steam up.
Yeah.
The TV looked terrible, but through the binoculars you could sort of just see them. And I realised by having quick glances the TV was going to be no help whatsoever. So I actually found it better just calling through the binoculars.
Yeah. Well, Luke, we've actually got some footage of when you've been in a tricky situation. This was the rain at Hawkesbury for the trials one day, so this is the call for you. I don't think this is too bad.
Yeah, I think it was a bog actually that morning.
You missed one.
And another one.
It was only 5 minutes, Luke.
Well, actually, I remember the morning. It was you could only see them from the top of a straight onwards. So pretty much, I told a few stories and that until I could see.
Jokes would come into it, or entertainment part of race calling.
I've given up on those.
Some people say, oh, you've got an easy race coming up, just four runners in the next.
They're
the
worst.
Much harder, yeah, because you're under pressure to try and make it entertaining, and then you get into a situation that you do something like that, and then why did I bother?
Randwick the other week with the heavy 10, the fields came down to fields of 5 and 6, and the first race was 5 over 1,800, and the second race was 5 over 2,400, and you know that there's not going to be a great deal of change. And
give their breeding, who's on it, who's it trained by.
That's right.
Let's see, would you ever do a race call and pronounce the names as excited like this, really?
Inside it's Feline Fell in fourth. In the middle of the track is... Coming down to the final 16th, it is Stampat in front. Arg in front, coming down to the wire. They're coming to the finish, and it's all...
Gee, that's not bad. It was R, wasn't it?
That's not bad, It was written as that, how I try and do it.
A few R's on him.
Yeah, so would you ever do that as a...
He had such a gravelly voice to go with it, didn't it? You know, like that was his horse because of his voice.
Yeah.
Look, probably not.
No?
I'll give R a miss.
What about you, Darren? Would you ever go down that path of the...
Boom.
Yeah.
A boom?
A boom.
Shatakwa has...
That's his
launched.
Stable name, the Hawks. They just call him...
He's Boom now?
Yeah. They just call him Boom.
Yeah, well, let's hope he can go through and...
Because you were saying in Hong Kong that Boom had taken off over there. You were getting people coming up.
Yeah, I was quite surprised, actually. Yeah, it's become a bit of a brand name now, of course.
Here he comes, Shatakwa! Boom! Right over the top! Shatakwa takes out the TJ...
Hey, guys, let me back in. There's enough sweet chili and sour cream to go round.
No, sorry, mate. 5-second rule.
I thought it was a 10-second rule.
No, it's definitely 5 seconds.
Seven?
Righto, seven.
Six and seven.
Time's up.
Bring fries to life with sweet chili and sour cream.
After 40 years in V8s, we've learned that performance matters. That's why we're proud to partner with Craig Lowndes and Team Vortex. Vortex Premium Fuels, designed to clean for better performance.
The new Kia Cerato comes with Australia's only 7-year warranty and a stunning new design inside and out across the range. It starts with the Cerato S from just $19,990. Drive away with free auto.
Winks has moved up now. Hartnell's hit the front. Winks is going with him and they've turned it on. Winks has raced away around the home turn. This is a blitz. It's a Winks. It's Global Glamour, Whisper and Brook and I in the start of Global.
Love a bet? Then we bet you'll love this. We've got a $25,000 Big Six jackpot at Royal Randwick Boxing Day. So place a bet you'll never forget today. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
The winners keep coming.
I'm with Moa here. I'm taking you on with the stable mate. He's won two of his last three. He's fit. He's racing well and he's winning. So that'll do me. I'm with Iggy Pop here. He just had no luck there last start. He's done a lot of work in the run from that tricky gate. He's drawn much softer. I know he carries the same weight here, but he'll be better for the run. And he is a winner at Randwick over the 2,400 metres. Just need to kiss him for a second. The extra distance does look ideal.
Formline Summer, 7:30 tonight.
Five of them bowling along over the 2,000. Now, if you were to put the names of these five runners into a poetic sense, you might be able to come up with something like, it's a virtue that Royal Amati returned to the scene of the crime, because there's nothing more beautiful than things going per plan. And as they continue on, up towards the 700 metres.
So was this something that you'd planned before the day, or you thought, day off, let's have a little bit of fun with this race?
That was one that went well with a small field.
They were all the horses' names, were they?
Yeah, so what a...
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
I want to know...
Having your approval means a lot.
Did you pay the bloke in the background to laugh?
The microphone did pick up
Someone's in hysterics in the background. Did you pay him?
No, I think he must have just been standing below the broadcast box there. But, it was just a five-horser over 2,000 metres, and I just thought I'd try something a little bit different, and we managed to get all the names of the runners into a poem, and it was something a bit different anyway.
Well, this question is for all three of you, but what would have been the most outrageous thing that's happened to you on the track, whether it's actually physically on the track or up in the caller's box, whatever? Mitch, we'll start with you.
Hasn't happened to me, but there is situations that callers have, I think David Fowler had someone coming with a knife.
Yes, and he had to deal with a possum one day. Possum? Poor Fowler, it's all happened.
Yeah, Johnny Gilmore swallowed a moth at Maitland Trots.
John Gilmore.
So, look, in this day and age, the broadcast books are getting better and more enclosed that we don't have to deal with a lot of wildlife. But we'll say at Richmond Dogs, you see insects there that you'll never see ever again. They're blue and orange, and there's some creatures out there.
Some large ones.
Yeah, that's it. So, yeah, probably Richmond Dogs, you kind of feel for your life there.
What about you, Darren? Have you had any outrageous moments?
I do remember a night at Happy Valley. We did an interview with the actor Vinnie Jones. Mm-hmm. He was there marketing a clothing brand or something. So we got him on in the broadcast box and was being a little bit cheeky to him, and he said, you keep that up, I'll throw you out the window. And I sort of just G'd up a little bit more, and he actually did grab me and he pushed me right up towards the window. I wasn't sure if he was joking or not. Anyway, I backed off.
Yeah.
Violent man.
Well, he's very violent in his movies.
Yeah.
What about you? You've probably had plenty.
Yeah, well, he's torn strips off me. I haven't got any content left, but I have lost my voice during a race one day. At Canberra, I was quite ill, and I was trying to battle through, and my mouth just got very dry, and I knew I was in trouble pretty early, and by the time they were crossing the line, I was nothing but a bit of a squeak, really, that I had left. So
we're
going
to listen to that right now.
Yeah. Right, we're gonna have that. Gee whiz.
It's the Luke Marlowe hour.
Yeah. No, luckily for you, we'll let you off this time. We don't have the footage of that. But what we do have footage of, which we'll talk about just after, is when you've got a champion that's in a race and what you do in the lead up to it. So let's roll the tape for this one.
Here's Mackayvie Diva. A nation roars for a hero. She's starting to wind up. 300 left to go now. Mackayvie Diva's racing up. Envoy's trying to go with her. They've got to Portland Singer and Lachlan River. Here comes Like the Falcon and Excellent. But Mackayvie Diva clear with 100 metres to go. Excellent runs to
line there, a champion becomes a legend. Mitch, if you had a race that you knew that you either had a champion or an up-and-coming champion, would you have a prepared one-liner that you could use at the end of the race?
I think so, and probably the thing with Greg there was that she'd already won two, so he would have gone back and sort of picked those two calls and said, well, what have I said to capture the moment then? And then now she's doing something that no horse has ever done.
Yeah.
And I think Greg has come up with some, outstanding lines with Black Caviar as well, because, she just kept winning. Couldn't just keep saying, oh, the unbeaten sequence keeps going on. Mm. And sometimes the races don't pan out the way that you want them to either. I'm sure Darren, through the last 12 months in Sydney with the championships and like Winx as well, she was in awful trouble in the Epsom, and then she burst through. That you might have had a game plan, but it didn't probably the way that the race was until she burst onto the
scene. Absolutely. You might have had something in your mind, but if things change, and they always do, you've got to just abandon what you might have had in your head and save it for another day and just go with the emotion of what's happening at the time.
Yeah.
Mitch, you were saying how you were getting ready just recently when Chris Waller broke his record. Yep. You started to prepare a line for when he had another winner on the day.
Yeah, he just won race four, so he was only one win away. And I sort of thought to myself, I didn't try and preempt anything because at the start of the day, he needed two winners. And it looked like he would get it on paper, but the first couple got beat, so you sort of think, is it going to happen? And because he had the record previously, I thought, well, what's a way to sum up, how this bloke has just got better? And that's, as I said, I just come up with the best just got better. And Pioneering sort of was a length and a half off and attacked D9L, and as I said, it just sort of blurted out at the time.
D9L in front, Pioneering to a half, a neck, draws level, and Waller gets it. The best just got better.
Ah, sisterly love. But with Macca's Summer Sides Box, there's three favourites, plus Big Mac Special Sauce, so you keep everyone happy.
After 40 years in V8, we've learned that performance matters. That's why we're proud to partner with Craig Lowndes and Team Vortex. Vortex Premium Fuels, designed to clean for better performance.
Seamus Award, the time form champion Australian 3-year-old.
Seamus Award in front, Happy Trails having the last lunge at him. He dives, misses, Seamus Award.
The first horse in history to win the sire-making double of the Cox Plate and Australian Guineas.
Seamus Award in front of Criterion in Thunder Fantasy. Seamus Award all the way.
He's led all the way in a Cox Plate and he's led all the way in Australian Guineas. That's pretty hard to do.
First crop yearlings on offer at all major sales in 2017.
Greetings from all of us at Sky Racing, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2017.
The winners keep coming from Sky Racing Tipsters. Mark Guest.
The 150. Young Amazon led the way, but here's Our Rocky unleashing on the outside. It's Our Rocky. Metazoa's getting through and flashing home was Ruthless Angel. It might beat them all. Parry now gets Removal at 10. It found the front and put two lengths on them. Mr. Bandit Country tries to run on. It's Removal, though, clear. Mr. Bandit Country trying hard. Is closing late, but Removal will deliver.
Sky Racing Tipsters. Finding winners on race day.
Safely, and here comes the big O. Octagonal with the last run at them. Talante, Safely, and Octagonal. They've come away from nothing like a Dane. Safely and Octagonal. Beedman throwing everything at Octagonal. He gets there. Yes, Octagonal wins the Derby.
Well, you could really see and feel the crowd and the excitement of the caller in that race. We've just had seen Octagonal. So, speaking of champions, love to get your thoughts on the best horse that you've seen.
I'm going to say Octagonal because he was a childhood favourite of mine. I was growing up at that era, and perhaps the way that he used to win too was, you know, he'd work, like even that Mercedes Classic, they still say to this day that he didn't win when Arcady was on the fence. The judges will tell you at Rose Hill that it just didn't appear possible that he won. He made things possible on racetracks that I guess probably only defied by Lonro in that Australian Cup a few years later on. He's in his generation, but as I said, when I was a kid at the time, he was the it horse in that race. Just a bunch of champions, you know, the four that went across the line, you know, it'll go down as one of the great derbies.
Who stands out in your mind?
I love watching that particular race and racing in that era, because I've still got the goosebumps now that we've brought that old tape out. But because I spent so long in Hong Kong, 16 years over there, the best horse I saw there was Silent Witness. He was just unbeatable. And in the early stages, when they went 5 out of 5 and 10 out of 10, you think, well, it's going to come to an end sooner or later. Yeah. It took a long time for him to eventually be beaten, but the horses came from overseas to take him on. He didn't do a whole lot of travelling, but he was a freak of a sprinter, Silent Witness.
Now, as far as horses I've seen, I can't go past the mare, Black Caviar. She was, she had that aura of invincibility. She was never beaten, so it'd have to be her for me.
Now, you guys would also see plenty of runners at the trials and at the track. Is there a standout in your mind that everyone at home we should all keep an eye out for in the next sort of coming months? Is that you, Darren?
I think that Winx's little brother, El Divino, is one to watch. The bloodlines suggest that he's going to be okay. And by what I've seen out of him of late, I think I'll go with El Divino.
Luke, who's... Thank you.
I'm in love with a colt of Chris Lee's. He's called Guard of Honour. He's only had one start. He won at Warwick Farm on debut. I think he's a nice horse.
And Mitch, one for you?
I'm going to go Ome Sword from Chris Waller. I think she is in for a big preparation. Wish I just knew what the grand final was for her. I really don't know at this stage. You know, she might go through a Golden Rose preparation, but, you know, perhaps probably the flight stakes or something like that's her goal, or 1,000 guineas in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. But, from what I'm led to believe, Chris Waller's very excited about her prospects, so... When you hear,
I thought you were going to say Winx when you said Chris Waller. I was going to say thanks, Captain Obvious.
Well, she speaks for herself, doesn't she? You know, like Darren must be really excited going into another carnival with her again. You know, we'll see her perhaps 2-3 times in Sydney. So,
well, you've got a doubt. Will we ever see her get beaten?
Yeah, that's right. Again, yep. So, that's my filly, Ome Sword.
Now, guys, I always like to cover the future of racing and love to get the thoughts of a race caller's perspective of where you see our sport going. Darren, let's start with you. What do you see the future of racing?
Well, I think we're pretty lucky being New South Wales based that we're in a state that is progressing. The prize money, I mean, when I look at what the country prize money's just gone to, the levels there, and then the provincials, there's a lot of incentive out there for people to get involved in horse racing, so I think it'll keep surviving.
Mm. I totally agree with Darren. I think, and for us here at Sky Racing, the technology is only getting better all in all the time. So, it really is a great era to be in New South Wales for us. Luke and I go to the country and provincial, and the depth of the races are getting stronger because of the prize money, and, you know, it's the flow-on effect into town. The highways have been... extremely well received. So, I can't see things sort of going backwards from a New South Wales point of view. But maybe just the punters on social media could just be a bit kinder to us.
Yeah.
We're softies at heart. You know? We do have feelings.
Yeah. Luke, do you have any thoughts on where you see racing going?
Oh, look, I think racing's only going to go from strength to strength in this state under our governing body here. They're obviously pumping up the country prize money, the country championships and the championships incentives just going from strength to strength each year. So that's something I'm excited about going forward, the championships. I think it's just flying, going better and better every year.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me on the show. You've all brought such interesting stories and a wealth of knowledge that all of us at home can definitely learn a lot from. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
And thank you all at home for watching. We'll see you next time on The Lounge.
Boxing Day, the end of year celebrations continue at Randwick with the Group 3 Summer Cup. An impressive field of stayers are ready to battle it out in one of the last big races of the year. Plus, there's a $25,000 Big Six jackpot for New South Wales Cup customers at Royal Randwick on Boxing.